So we've been working hard this summer and this fall with the first books of the Bible, first two, right? Genesis and Exodus, and we've struggled with them and have seen the beginning of the story of faith for the people of Israel. And Brother Chuck, last we touched on something that is based in that story, and that is really relative to what we have learned, that God is loving and patient, and that Jesus takes after him. Right. We know that because this God of Abraham, of Jacob, and of Israel is faithful in relationships. Right? He's faithful in connecting with his people. Even when the people do not respond in kind. Hello? That's not just the people of Israel, right? God is really faithful in the relationships. God responds not according to what we may deserve, or the people, his people, but according to its own character. He's a loving God. And this, we saw this last week when Chuck was sharing how Jesus really mimics the Father, right? In the scenario with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. We saw Jesus cry. Right? The shortest verse in the whole Bible, right? Jesus cried. He cried with Mary. And I guess that the point was that he felt the struggle. He felt the confusion in this woman. And then he proceeded to astonish her and all those who were present in that place. And as Chuck said, in bringing Lazarus to life, Jesus started his way to death. And what a show of love, right? For humanity. As you well know, if it had been me, none of y'all would be here. So thank God. Now we're going to be leaving Genesis and we're going to set Exodus aside, and we're going to continue in John to see about this son and how this son operates. But let me remind you of something that God said to the people of Israel. I will be your God and you will be my people, right? That's what God said to Israel. And he also stated this, I am the God that freed you from captivity in Egypt, right? He identifies himself as the one who freed them. And again, I wonder, why is it that God feels that he needs to remind them of that? Why is it that God feels that he needs to pull out his ID to the people and say, this is I, the one who freed you from Egypt? And it seems to me like they exhibit something that we exhibit, is that ability to quickly forget. Right? You see, I think that should be the main characteristic of anyone who has a relationship with God. Quick to forget. God does a great thing, and we rejoice for a little bit, but we're quick to forget. Israel, as we have observed all these past few weeks, was quick to forget too. What that meant is that they immediately went to worship the same thing as their captors, like if they were saying, hey, if it worked for them, right? It basically made them a powerful nation, right? And they enslaved us for 400 years. That means that if this God doesn't show up, we might as well to try to adopt the gods of those who enslaved us for 400 years. Maybe we'll get there. Quick to forget. Maybe what they wanted was not freedom. Maybe what they wanted was payback. Are you following me? Maybe they really didn't want to be free. What they wanted was to have what they had. Problem is that it doesn't end there. We want more. You see, there's steps to forgetting. The next step to forgetting is delusion. Of course. As I tend to do, let's define it so that you are clear what we're talking about. Delusion means an idiosyncratic belief or impression that is firmly maintained despite being contradicted by what is generally accepted as reality or rational argument. Too many words. Basically, is you're living in space. Now, it says also, typically a symptom of a mental disorder. Another part of the definition says, is distinct from a belief based in false and incomplete information. So let's gather this idea. Delusion is a make-believe world that is created in our minds, even though the evidence doesn't support it. You follow? Not only that, it's not that you're misinformed. It's not that you don't know. It's that you know, but you'd rather not. Right? It's that you know these things, but you'd rather play this movie in your head and make it reality for you. So it's not our ignorance. Now, check this out. The Israelites thought in their mind that they could basically one-up God. Right? Just because Moses didn't show up when they wanted. In their mind, they said, well, we can do better. If God is not finished with Moses, then we'll figure it out, guys. We will make an alternate reality. All right? We'll choose to live in this other dimension. And we'll make up our own way. They created a delusion just to appease themselves. That's called, in our day, self-medication. Right? You got it, right? They couldn't get what they wanted, and they immediately went for it. Because I cannot stand living without control. So they started to play this game of make-believe. And that led them, of course, into troubled waters. And God couldn't believe it. And still, even though that was the case, Moses intercedes for them, right? Remember that? Moses says, God, don't do it for their sake, but for yours. Remember that you chose them. Now, in this passage in John 8, we have Jesus making this claim. And this claim, I believe, is the one that got the ball rolling to get him in trouble with the Jews. And the passage notes that there were Jews present that believed in Jesus. You remember that from what we read, right? There were Jews that believed in Jesus. But this context is really controversial. It's kind of odd. If we go back to verses 25 and 26, they state that Jesus said to them, "Why do I speak to you at all? I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but the one who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." In other words, maybe you can hear that there is frustration in his words. Why do I even try to explain to you guys what's real? I hope that you're following. Because obviously, they had already created an alternate reality for themselves. And Jesus is just trying to make them see that he comes from God and that he is God. And Jesus is trying to make the Jews see that they are delusional. That they're not living in the same reality. And in the real moment of truth, he points to discipleship. If you continue in my words, if you continue in my words, I will have to say this again. If you continue in my words, you really will be my disciples. And you will know the truth. Now, as you were able to tell, they immediately stood up and defended their delusion. Right? What did they say? "We do not need to be made free because we are sons of Abraham. And we have never been slaves to anyone." Period. Actually, it should be exclamation mark, right? You see the delusion? You see that invention in the story? Or maybe not. First, they were claiming to be sons of Abraham as if that was the greatest thing in the whole wide world. As if that was something to really brag about. This is the Abraham who once lied to the Pharaoh about his wife. Remember that? He said, "This is my sister. Ain't she good looking?" Hey? Why? Because he was in fear that he would lose his life. we are the sons of Abraham. What in the world does that mean? You're liars too? This is the guy, right? This Abraham is the one who heard from God that he was going to have myriads of descendants. And his wife doesn't believe it. And he and she had to offer an alternative. So she says, why don't you have my slave? Right? Remember? Yeah. We talked about that. And of course, instead of Abraham being the powerful, faithful servant of God and saying, no, God has told me that he was going to provide, he said, okay. Right? I mean, strong in faith, right? Here's my slave, okay. So here are the Jews offering this great excuse. We are the sons of Abraham. Like if that was the greatest thing in the whole wide world. But you see, I'm sure that these guys knew the story of Abraham, right? I'm sure that they knew all these things, but still, they created a persona that was further from the truth. In their minds, Abraham was this otherly worldly person. Just they had created a different God in their minds. You follow what I'm saying? And Jesus has to say to them, and those words reverberate all the way to today, if you stick to my word. Not the word that you're working with in your delusion, people. But my word. And I think that Jesus is still struggling to make us see that reality. So, as you can see, that's the beginning of Jesus trying to work, to correct that delusion. He points to the truth, right? You heard that. The truth. We are seekers of the truth, aren't we? Yes. We want to know the truth about everything. Even if it's the truth in our own delusion. So he tries to correct it. And he points to the truth. He says, very truly I tell you. Right? Very truly. Okay? That's a statement is true. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So it begs the question, who's that? Who's that that commits sin? I know the answer. Not me. Right? That's the immediate answer because that's in the delusion, right? Not me. So who? Who's the one that commits sin? Is it those who are outside of these walls that are quote-unquote lost? Is it those who are under the power of addictions? Is it those who are down and out? Or is it me that he's talking about? The person that I was talking with this week about this passage said, I woke up and realized I'm a prisoner of my own sin. We all are. That's bold, right? We all are. So it's up to us to live in truth of the word and be disciples so that we can be set free. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that we aren't slaves, just like they declared their family heritage. See, I don't know if you hear something there, right? I was like, wow, you know, truth. The truth is that we're it. I don't know about what you think of those statements, but to me that was a great translation of the passage. The correction of our delusion comes with acceptance of the truth. Acceptance of the truth. When we accept the truth that we are slaves to our own sin, then Jesus' word can take effect in us. If you continue in my word, this is Jesus' word. Come to me, all that who are what? Heavy laden, burdened. Another translation says, right? And what? I will make you what? There's a word there that I want you to really hear. I will give you rest. That's what it says. I will give you rest. If anybody has struggled with sin, they know that it's heavy. Amen. They know that it's present, and that it's like I can't get rid of this monster. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. All right, we got 3 more hours. Now I can get into it. There's no brokenness game tonight, right? Great. How in the world do you think that we are going to rest? Now, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I always wanted to be tall. I wanted to be at least 6'5" so I could play basketball. Right? Not only that, but I wanted to be thin. And on top of that, I wanted to be good looking. Long hair. I mean, I wanted to be a basketball, football playing surfer guy. I mean, can you get the picture? Right? Now, that's a burden. Don't you think? Especially especially when you know that you cannot do anything about it. Because see, oh, that's what my wife says. It's a burden because I'm none of those things, right? Now, my wife does say that I'm good looking, but I don't believe her because it's very possible that she is delusional too. You see, I have what my father calls a perfect body. The only thing is that it's short and wider than most. And that is true, right? It's still perfect. Now, the other thing that is true is that I am a slave. That has been set free. Oh man, if you, I hope that you hear those two parts. The truth is that I am a slave that is free. Don't let the label define you, right? You know about Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe some of you have heard. Alcoholics normally identify themselves as always alcoholics, right? Even if they have stopped drinking forever, they still speak of themselves as, I am an alcoholic. They're not drinking, but they're still acknowledging the fact that given all the opportunity and freedom in the world to do as they see fit, that's where they would be. Now, it's not only alcoholics, it's also drug addicts. But it's not only drug addicts. I mean, we see those things as easy to identify, right? Oh, that's sin. But what about anxiety? You may be addicted to anxiety. About fear. You may be addicted to fear. How about complacency? You see, that may be your condition. See, what I'm trying to state here is not the obvious. Sin, quote unquote, is not to do with the obvious. It has to do with truth. And in order for any of us to overcome that, we have to accept that condition. We need to say, I am. In order for the salvific work of our Lord Jesus Christ to do something in and for us, we must accept it as such. It may be anxiety, it may be fear, it may be anything that we struggle with in our world. I mean, you could say, I am, insert, right, condition right here. I mean, you can label it, it's okay, you can name it. And I've struggled with that. And we struggle with sin. But we are like recovering sinners. You've heard the term? Right? We are in recovery. In a sense, there's big that acceptance. In a sense, we have adopted the freedom that's been offered to us. Right? So we live in that reality, which is the truth of Jesus Christ with us, even though we struggle. Are you with me? You hear me? You see, this is the deal. We are under new administration. You've seen the signs, right? The restaurant is the same. But it's under new administration. Right? When you see that, what happens? Oh, there's hope. Right? There's hope that that's not the same place. I went that day and I almost got sick. We're doing their new administrations of Christ's words to our hearts and souls. I will make you rest. You no longer have to suffer the burden of your sin. I've taken it away. Truth. Now, remember that I mentioned the title was an answer? Here's the question. Is that for reals? For reals. I will end with this. This week we're celebrating something that happened 500 years ago. Anybody? Reformation. I'm glad somebody's informed. All right. All of Christianity is seeing this 500th anniversary of what sparked a reformation in the church. And it is fitting to celebrate it on All Saints Week. Right? I just want to insert this. All Saints Week is not Christian. I knew you were going to look at me like that. All Saints Week is a Jewish celebration. They believe that their ancestors are the ones that really led him to this place. That's why Abraham is so important in their lives. That's why they mention Jacob, Israel. That's why whenever they celebrate this time, they look at their ancestors who made decisions that brought them to this place where they're at today. And we look at it the same way. It's not a matter of lifting up these people and saying they're saints. It's a matter of recognizing that because of what they did and the things that the path that they have traveled, we are here. So, I want to celebrate Martin Luther. Remember that name? Yeah. Martin Luther studied law because his parents made him. And right after he graduated, he saw truth. He said, there's no way I'm going to practice law. Because I guess he saw that he wasn't just. So he decided to get into, come on, the priesthood. Of course, there's a holy bunch. His decision to follow in the steps of Augustine to be a monk was guided by that search for peace inside. He had this big burden about his own sin. And he said to himself, if I engage in a life that is pious, I'll make it. So he went into the monastery and he prayed. And he read the Bible and he prayed. And he beat himself up. And he started to pay for all his sins any way he could find how. And then he said to himself, how in the world is this going to end? Because the moment that he had thought that he had paid for all of it, more came up. And then the next day came up. And he looked at the cook and he says, why in the world are you doing that to me? I was just kidding, guys. So he kept thinking about this. And he had a priest saying to him, listen, dude, don't beat yourself up for what Jesus has already done. He's already taken care of that. And there is no way that you can. So, that led him into a path of truth and seeking the truth. He translated the Bible into German. And when he was in that process, he discovered things in Scripture that led him to complain. He complained to the church. And you know the 95 theses, right? He wrote all these theses down concerning the practice of the church. And he said to them, you're wrong. They were selling indulgences to absolve sin. And he says, there's no way that that's going to make it. There's only one way. God's grace. Right? Only his word, sola scriptura, which led to only by faith, sola fides. So, this guy figured something out. That there's no way for us to buy into freedoms from sin. He figured it out. That there's no way that we could pay for what has been given. It is through his word and through faith alone. So let us not be like those who came before, forgetful and delusional. Let's stick to the proven and true. God's only Son and his word to us. Amen. Now, I'd like to invite you to sing. Why don't we stand?